Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome and Happy New Year. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And we're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Hope you made it through the holiday season with a smoker hot and maybe got a new grill or toy under your tree. But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, brother?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Thanks for joining us. It is the Winter Smoke Show, the first show of 2020.
Right.
Get that down when you write your check.
Yeah.
Payable to the Grilling Guys.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We are looking for sponsors, so hopefully somebody's going to write some checks out there.
2020.
Winter's starving out.
Right.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk all about winter smoke and smoking in the cold weather, because that's the best time to get your smoker going, in my book.
Right. It is. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, you got to keep your man card up and active. And if you put your toys away for cooking outside in the winter, then we got to clip the corner. You know, it's just not what, it's not what's going to happen.
And some of you have nothing but a couple corners left.
So. Right, yeah, exactly. If you've done this before and you've listened for a while, certainly.
How was your New Year's celebration?
You know, it was good. And we went non-traditional, just went with another couple, and we decided to do King Crab Legs, which is not grilling at all, but it's steaming.
Where'd you go?
Well, we just went for another couple's house.
Oh.
Lisa and I went over to another couple's house, and we got over there, and I had bought 5 pounds of King Crab Legs.
They were wonderful.
Yeah, oh, they were wonderful. You're right. But we get over there, and the guy's got 4 New York strips set out,
oh,
too. And I'm
goodness.
Like, dude, this isn't going to work. There's no way that we can eat
we're
those
doing
steaks.
The crab legs.
Right, the crab legs are here. I said, just put those in the fridge.
Yeah.
You can have them another day.
Let's do some dry aging.
Yeah. But he had them all seasoned up and everything. I don't know what he was thinking. But anyway, the crab legs, we did, you know, that Kerrygold Irish butter.
Yes.
And we clarified
yes.
it.
Yes.
And, man, is that good.
Yeah.
You know, dripping down your chin.
I'm
and
just starving.
Yeah. So it was good.
And where'd you get the crab legs?
You know, I got them at Costco. Of all places.
Really?
Yeah, this guy is a manager at Costco where we went to his house, and he tipped me off that they were having their seafood rally. Or
you didn't pass that tip on to your buddy?
I didn't, because it was a one-time thing. They were going to end. I bought them on New Year's Eve, and that was the last day of it.
Oh, but, were they fresh? No, they must have been frozen.
They're all cooked and frozen. That's how King Crab comes.
Oh, they're cooked?
Yeah, all King Crab is.
Really?
Yeah, they cook it and before they freeze it and
oh.
bring it to you, and you just warm it up is all you do.
You're steaming it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep, put it in a big pot with a steamer.
Oh, no kidding. I never knew that.
Yeah, we had some side dishes and stuff, but the King Crab was the star of the show.
And how was it?
You know what? It was wonderful, and I just really – it's a treat, right? It's 25
yes.
bucks a pound.
Right.
So you
on sale it
yeah,
was?
Yeah, right. Yep, $24.99 on sale, regularly $34.99, right? So big ones, though, like, you know, big as your wrist.
So you dropped $125 just for the entree.
Right, for 4 of us. Yeah, like I
said,
it was
bad.
Special.
That's not bad.
It was special, and, yeah. and but we really, really enjoyed it.
Oh.
And you know, just had great appetizers. Got into a bottle of Eagle Rare bourbon, maybe just a step or two too far. But, you know, Lisa was driving, so I was happy.
That's the way sounds it was. Like fun.
Yeah, it was.
We ended up going to Saugatuck, and we went with several friends, couples, and had a fantastic time. I have never spent a night downtown Saugatuck, especially in the winter.
Right.
But there were quite a few places still open. And Saugatuck, depending on where you're listening, it's on the west coast of Michigan, about, halfway up the west coast on Lake Michigan. It's a beautiful little town, very diverse culture, beautiful yacht marinas there, just a cool piece of real estate.
Lots of art.
Little bitty shops all over with
right.
art fairs and just cool restaurants and bars and just craziness. And we walked around all night. We spent the midnight hour at a place, I think it was called Billy's.
Billy's Boathouse.
Couldn't tell you for sure.
Right.
Anyway, we had so much fun. We stayed at a cool little hotel right downtown on the water. There's mm-hmm. only one.
Right.
And then they have a barge behind it.
Right.
And so that's where we started and ended our night. And the next morning, we went to a restaurant that John, one of the guys with us, really loves. He said, you have to have breakfast at the Southerner. So we just kept hearing that all night.
Right.
I think he went there for the breakfast, not even for New Year's Eve.
Right, yeah.
But these guys all live there, right? They're all food people. They're food brokers and just people in the food industry. So it was a very fun event when you're with like-minded people. But right. this Southerner is a cool little you can tell it's an older place that's been added onto several times on the water, done up very nicely and tastefully, but you can tell it's a very old structure, and there's a lot of those in Saugatuck.
Right.
And I couldn't wait to eat there, and I got to meet – once we got done eating, the guys told them – they all know the owner. And right, they told sure. them that I was there and yada, yada, who bought the show. And he came over to the table and brought me a box of their chicken because they're famous for their chicken.
Oh.
Their fried chicken. And I can tell you that their fried chicken is crazy good. But I had prime rib and eggs. I had a rib steak – eggs. They have awesome Bloody Marys, and it was like almost as good as the night before, you know?
Right, yeah.
Just, here we go again. But the guy's name is Jonathan Fries. I don't know what his wife's name is, but she basically runs it. He happened to be there New Year's Day.
Right.
And I just want to put a little shout out to the Southerner in Saugatuck. They're just every breakfast we saw was like it was like people are just moaning when right. the plate comes up. And it's so fun to find those little places like that.
Right.
I mean, because, I don't know, to me, breakfast is a big deal, especially right. if we're doing it up and we got all the nice clothes and we're staying in the hotel and the champagne in the room and all this stuff. Yeah. And the next morning, you know, hopefully it'll be great in many ways.
Right. Bring in the new year properly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I get it.
Because you
yeah.
come home too loaded to do it properly. So anyway, that awesome breakfast. And then for me, if I can have a Bloody Mary at breakfast on these special occasions.
Oh, sure.
I feel like I'm like really, really doing it up.
Living it high on the hog.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
so,
fun.
So let's talk about that prime rib because you and I had a conversation before New Year's Eve.
Right.
Where we were talking about how to do a prime rib, and I ran into a guy at Sobey Meats. He's right. standing in front of me picking up his Christmas prime, and we didn't talk about it during that show. But he said, you're going to put this thing in the oven. What was it, 500 degrees?
Yeah.
You did it, didn't you?
I
did. Explain it to
us. I did. Actually, you gave me the idea, and I had heard other people talk about it, but it just, to me, sounded gimmicky.
Right.
And then when you said it, and you heard it, this guy at Sobey, it's like, okay, it's probably a real deal.
Right.
I did it. I bought a 10-pounder from Sobey's for Christmas.
Okay.
I threw it in the oven. I put my smoke on it, my Thermapen smoke, which has a couple remote probes, and one was in the oven because I wanted to make sure I was hitting 500.
Right.
And the other one went in the piece of meat because I wanted to make sure I pulled it out at 132.
Right.
So it worked beautiful. I had 10 pounds, so I put it in for like 55 minutes.
Right.
Shut it off. And just watch that internal probe and watch the oven temp as well because it didn't drop real fast.
That's well, you left the door open, right? You never opened the door. Excuse me.
I left the door closed.
You never opened the door.
And that's
correct,
a Thermador yes. range that from Garrett's, right?
Right.
So it's a really good range. It held that temperature for a long time. So it was a good thing I was watching the internal because I had to pull it at
right.
130. It was still climbing. And it was going to go beyond my mark.
So the simple
a cheaper stove would have dropped a lot more temperature, and had probably been you know zeroed each other out. But right. if you're using a really good stove oven, you want to make sure you're monitoring that internal.
So you just put that in there for 5 minutes per pound at 500 degrees.
Yep.
When your timer went off, you shut the oven off. Don't open the door, and then you just watch the internal temperature until it got to the doneness.
Yeah.
Then you open the door, pull it out, and let it rest.
Yeah.
Super simple.
Oh, it was so good.
But it turned out.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
yeah.
any prime rib from Sobey's is going
right.
to turn
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, rather than putting it in there at 500 degrees, we're going to be talking a little bit about some cold smoking. Cheese, fish, sausage, you name it, we're going to smoke it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Blue Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. I didn't know there'd come a day either when we'd hit 2020 and we'd still be doing the Grilling Guys. You're listening to the Grilling Guys live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Barbecue Bob, we're starting our 10th year together doing this show, man, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we've talked about a lot of stuff a lot of times.
And we're not going to see the counselor anymore, so
right?
That's
yeah,
great.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little cold smoking. Myself, I'm going to go off onto an area that I am going to say is not my sweet spot.
Right, and you know what? Honestly, it's not mine either because we usually are trying to control a temperature that's somewhere between 250 and 275 when we're smoking. We're not looking at this 50 to 75
right
that you're going to talk about today. But that good one that I have would be perfect for this because I have a hard time getting the damn thing over 200 degrees anyway in this cold weather.
Right.
So here we go.
So define cold smoke. The definition I looked up said to not go above like 85 degrees.
Right.
And I guess some of the devices I've seen, I've actually seen people make them out of cardboard boxes,
mm-hmm.
and they run a dryer hose up to it, and it's just the outdoor temperature cools the smoke off.
Right. So what you're talking about is building a fire one place,
someplace
and
else.
Your food is in a chamber elsewhere.
You're venting it into a box.
And you're just putting the smoke onto the meat, the cheese, the sausage, but it's a cool smoke. It's not... You're not trying to cook anything. You're trying to flavor it with the smoke.
Right. Now, what you see a bunch is smoked cheese.
Right.
That's huge.
Right.
And it's really getting good. Bigger.
Right. And it's really good.
What's your favorite smoked cheese?
You know, I like a white cheddar that's smoked. I've had it before. You can't find it everywhere.
No.
But the beauty of this is that with this cold smoking, you can put smoke on almost any cheese. Your harder cheeses like a Parm or something like that, I don't think take it as well as maybe a softer cheese will absorb it.
Yeah. I see a lot of smoked Howdah.
Yeah.
People call it Gouda.
Right.
I see a lot of smoked Howdah.
And that's a softer cheese
and
as
provolone.
Well. Right.
But mostly cheddar.
Yep.
I don't see anybody smoking Velveeta.
Well, that's really not cheese.
Hey.
Anything that can sit on the counter with no refrigeration for a year and still be fresh is not cheese.
Smoked Crisco.
Yeah.
I guess some of the devices I've seen pictures of and talked to guys about are, like old refrigerators are real big on that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just run some dryer vent, some ducting into it and have a really ramshackle little fire pit of some sort outside and have this thing sitting in their garage or, you know, there's a million variations you could come up with, and they don't have to be elaborate, but guys do fish that way too.
Right. I'm going to take a little tangent here, but we should get one of these. I'll get one of these. Not we should. I'll get one, and we'll play with this because I've got a customer who shall remain nameless that is remodeling about 180 apartments right now, and they provide appliances in these apartments, and they're replacing them all.
Oh.
and he's got about 150 little apartment refrigerators, those ones that are about 5 foot tall and only like 27 inches wide, that they all work because they were all in his things. He's just getting rid of them. And I'll get one of those from him because he said if I wanted one, a beer fridge or whatever, you know, just let him know and I can pay him for it.
Because the four you've got aren't enough.
Right, yeah. But I just think, but there you go. We'll create a little firebox outside of it and put that a piece of dryer vent hose in the side, cut a hole, and let's see what we can do.
Sure.
Because the racks are in there. It's insulated.
Yeah.
It's a perfect chamber.
That's what
to
people
do that.
Use
and I suppose
for.
We got to let a hole out the top.
You have to vent it.
Right. But you put it in on the bottom, put it out on the top, and put a little damper on that thing so you can let the Yeah, I bet it just turns black inside, though. I don't know. I don't know what that smoke's going to do when
yes.
it gets over there. Yeah,
it's definitely.
But don't care.
You'll need to smoke it up for a few hours just to season it.
Right.
Otherwise, and the older ones that are metal lined, I think would be better than the plastic lined.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is emissions coming off of that thing.
Right. Any more than the smoke that you're putting in there. But
right.
We'll do that because he's got a surplus of those, and you could use one for that.
Absolutely. So fish is another thing people like to cold smoke.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it's an ancient preservation form for fish that tribes around the world have done for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
And those are the ones where you saw them beside the fire. The
yep.
fire's burning in the middle.
Yep.
And they're around there on a board
yep.
with like fillets
or
just hanging there.
Yep. I'm not – the problem for me with cold smoking fish is – I think you end up with more smoke on it than I'm comfortable with. If it's a strong flavored fish, you need the smoke, and that's why they do salmon.
Like a
so
lake
much.
Trout and a salmon
yeah.
or something like that. Yeah.
But I don't know. I with all my UP ties and family and all the trips up there, that smoked chub and all that stuff is so popular. I find most of those are so heavily smoked, they're terrible.
They're bitter.
I don't
or
like
they're just yeah. overwhelming. All
Over-smoked.
You can taste is the smoke.
Yeah.
yeah. Right.
So I think you have to be really careful with that. Now, the one area when I would probably take exception to it is sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're curing your sausage properly, the smoke is just helping the cure.
Right.
So,
and a cure is the chemical that's in it is a little.
Well, in times of old, it was salt.
Right. Right.
And celery seed.
Okay. And you mix that right in your grind.
Yes.
Because a lot of guys, the deer season finally ended. I guess maybe we're into January. Is there a muzzleloader season? There's got to be. I don't know. I don't know how that's working. The seasons
so
are jacked
many,
up.
Yeah, there's so many
right
seasons.
Now with the CWD and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you've got guys that have got venison, and maybe this winter hobby now. You thaw some of it out and you make some sausage out of it rather than just the ground venison. And putting those seasonings in there in that cure. What I do remember, the late, great Rob Russell was always very adamant about measure your cure.
Yes.
Because is it nitrate or nitrite?
Both.
Okay.
The Instacure is one of the brands that he and I used to use.
Right.
And I can't remember nitrite or nitrate, but
right.
they are both preservatives.
Right. And you put
and both somewhat. Let's say health experts aren't thrilled about you having too many of them.
Right. So his comment always was, know the exact poundage of meat that
exactly.
you're using and then use the proper amount of the cure with it. You can season anything else up you want, and you want to go heavy on your garlic or your
you
sage or whatever.
You were paying attention. I'm proud of you.
I was because I didn't want to get anybody sick when we're making stuff, right? I mean, that's
some people are really sensitive to those things, too.
Right. right.
But they're also sensitive to botulism.
So yeah,
I am.
Right.
I have a real soft spot.
Loosely speaking, yeah.
Well, anyway, I think back in the day, they used to build brick smokehouses, and you still see them.
Built like a brick smokehouse.
It just looks
right?
like a telephone booth.
Right.
Except it's brick, and it's got these cast doors on the front, and you put your little smoker box under it or behind it. Like down south, you see them in backyards. They'll have the fire pit under it because they do a lot of direct smoking,
right.
Direct fired pit style barbecue.
Uh-huh.
So that works great for that. But if you're cold smoking, you're going to want it offset somehow. And like that pellet stove you've got, that pellet smoker you've
mm-hmm.
got, that Louisiana,
right.
actually has an accoutrement that you put on there, a smoker box that you can run your exhaust into and coal smoke with it.
Oh, really?
You could use that.
I don't think I have that accoutrement.
No.
So, but maybe I should get one. But anyway, coming up next, we might heat it up a little bit. And we got a little, not a debate, but a discussion. We're going to go with Fast and Furious versus Low and Slow.
Smoke!
And we'll talk to you when we get back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Happy New Year. We are live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And first show, the Winter Smoke Show of 2020. 2020, Bob, here we go. Going to have crystal clear vision on how to get your smoking done. So what are you thinking now, man?
Welcome to the new Roaring 20s.
Right. Right, we're going to make it happen. A roaring fire.
So Fast and Furious versus Low and Slow. Fast and Furious is a fast way of smoking, barbecuing. Low and Slow is the traditional, old school, original barbecue. You have resorted to Fast and Furious a few times.
I have, out of necessity. More than anything, and the first time I did it, I was very apprehensive because I didn't know what the result was going to be. But I'll share just it's not even an anecdotal story; it's a real deal. Is that I had a cook to go to, right? Somebody had hired me to come out and cater their party, and I was working getting all the food together, and you know they want it delivered at a certain time, so you do that, and you look up, and I've got an hour and 20 minutes before I need to leave. And my pork butts, which I bring to 195 on the smoker, are sitting at 165. And I know to myself, there's no way they're going to come up that last 30 degrees in the hour that I have to have before I can pack them and go. Mm-hmm. So I pull them out of the oven or pull them out of the smoker. They're wrapped now because we wrap at about 150. When I say wrap, put foil around them, seal them up.
But when you wrapped them, you already knew it wasn't going to make it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because of the timing. Right. But, you're hopeful. Right, throw some more coal on the smoker and see if you can get it going.
Yeah, I think we're stupid sometimes, too.
Yeah, right. So you come to that realization point where it's like, crap, this isn't going to be done in time.
I knew it.
Right. So you pull them out, and I had four of them, and I put them in the oven. Well, mistake number one is they hydrate the fat. What's the word?
Renders.
Renders, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And so I made a bloody mess in my oven because – I slid them on the grates.
Oh, you're kidding.
And they punctured holes.
You knew better than that.
Right. Well, I was hurrying, right?
Yeah, cookie sheet, buddy.
Right, yeah. So
with edges.
Right. Yeah. So the next time, that's exactly what it was, only I just used the regular chafer pan that had like a 3-inch edge all
even better yet.
Right. So I put them in there, and I jacked the oven to 400 degrees. Even though it's low and slow, I had them in there. They'd got the smoke on them. I wrapped them. I was just waiting for them to finish. So at that point, I put them in the oven at 400, but I took my remote thermometer and stuck it in the biggest one, right, because I wanted to get them to that 195 that I like to pull the pork off. And so I did that, and they made it. They made it in that hour at a 400-degree oven because it just was the boost they needed for the hour to get there. But that was, I mean, every pork butt I've ever done is low and slow. Mm-hmm. But if you get in a jam, the work had been done by the smoker in that once the meat hits 140, 145, it stops taking smoke anyway. So there's really no reason for it to be in there other than the fire's hot and you got the time. Well, I didn't have the time, so I pulled it out. And it worked. And since then, if people want their food at an odd time, right?
Yeah.
But even if people want their food at an odd time, I'll factor that in and plan to throw it in there,
yeah,
for an hour, just so I don't have to,
yeah, or start it that much earlier,
right? And that's where
I'm
at.
That's the trick. And when you have old school smokers like you and I,
right,
where you're loading charcoal,
right,
and you're doing all this manual stuff, that causes a problem. And I'll tell you exactly how that bit me. For I had two Christmas parties to cook for, Maureen's family and my family. So Friday night, you know, everybody's showing up. We call it the pre-party. So I've got 30, 40 people showing up to the house for the pre-party. And, you know, I got to go out and start my smoker. I had everything all ready. All I really had to do was throw the meat on. But in hindsight, I would have been way better off doing that Friday, throwing it in my coolers and just parking it.
Right.
Instead of trying to time it. Because what happened was I lit my fires at midnight. I woke up at 5 in the morning, reloaded, and then went back to sleep. And I overcooked my brisket. I wasn't happy. The temperature ran away from me.
Okay. In the smoker.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm trimming the edges off. I hate trimming off brisket.
Right.
Still, people loved it.
Well, it's burnt ends, right? Yeah, you were making that.
I wasn't happy with it at all.
Come on, roll with that. You were making burnt ends. That's what you were trying to do, right?
Indirectly. Yeah. I was not happy with it. So, but what I should have done it all in advance. It's just, you know, I don't know. I worry about it being too old, and I don't know why.
Right.
It never is.
Right.
But so back to your thing, I had that same scenario, only it was like somebody said, well, you know, you have to, my wife said, oh, you know, you have to bring barbecue, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, because we're leaving in like 5 hours or 6 hours.
Right.
And she goes, yeah, you're doing barbecue. I'm like, that's not how this works.
Right.
So I sent the boys down to Meijer to grab a couple butts, and I boned them and cut them in half, rubbed them the way you would typically a butt, but now I've got four small pieces, and I put some smoke to them for about an hour, and then I jacked them up for 3 or 4 hours. I'm going to say they were probably the best butts I've ever done.
Really?
And here's why. Because I had more surface.
More
seasoning. I had more bark.
Right.
And seasoning. And I'm not so sure that that's not the best way to do butts in the future.
Well, you know, you try it, right?
I did, and it was so good. I mean, people were ranting and raving about it. It's like, I was afraid I screwed it up.
Did you ever wrap them? I mean, did you wrap the four pieces, or did you leave them just on the smoker until they got finished?
I did have to wrap them in the end to hydrate them.
Right.
And to finish them.
Right.
Because I was jacking it up, and I didn't want to make the bark too dark.
Yeah. See, now, I cook my butts with the fat side down. That's just the way I prefer to do it. And I don't season that fat side because when they're done, it creates a little lubrication on the grate so they don't stick.
Right.
That's the first thing.
Right.
And the second thing is I don't want that mixed into my meat, whatever didn't render off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'll pull that off there, flip that with that fat side up now as they're sitting in the pan, and I just take my oven glove, right, and I just scrape that right off into my hand and throw it in the trash.
Right.
But there's still plenty of the inner fat that's in there.
And there's a little bit of meat when you do take that
fat
cap
off.
So you're trying not to waste too much of it, but I do the same thing.
Yeah, I just don't want it in the mix of that. And when you broke it into those four pieces, I think that'd be even easier to do, just pop that off there.
Well, I don't recall. I only did it once. I just know that what I ended up with was a much more manageable piece of meat that was done in like 4 hours.
Right.
And it was wonderful. And I didn't end up looking the fool. Because you could if you rush a job like that.
Yeah. So just a little tip there is that try it low and slow. That's traditional. That's where we do it. But if you get in a jam, I think that once you've got some smoke flavor on it from the coal or your smoking wood or whatever you're using, the rest of it's just heat.
So cut that thing in half.
Right.
Or at least split it open and butterfly it.
See, I always buy the boneless ones, and that's why I do that. But I tell you, I'm kind of contradicting myself because I open them up and season them all. They're boneless pork shoulders, but then I put it back together when I smoke it with that fat cap down. So I'm not getting bark all over it, just
right
on the outside. But
so
I mean, just cut it in half.
It back together.
Right. It takes up a lot of smoker space, but I got that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah, you get a lot of bark that way. And I'm not a big fan of pork shoulder anymore. I'm sick of it.
Right.
So, but what I do love is pulling a fresh piece off the smoker and grabbing a piece of that bark and walking into the house, sucking it down.
Yeah.
It's so good. Just like fresh brisket.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't wait till it gets tender enough to break a chunk off.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes back to my college days of making bacon for Vandenbrink's.
Right.
And we would drop a ham or a side of bacon, and we'd tear at it because we were college kids.
Generally, when I'm hitting the 140 on the internal 145 when I'm going to wrap it, the outer edge has got some of it that's done.
Yeah, so you can have a little
chunk. Oh, yeah. I always have a snack when I do that. But anyway. Coming up next, we're going to talk some rib variations and a few other things. So you're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be back. Hey, this is Jop from The Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Where there's fire, there's smoke, and if there's smoke, light it up. Light it up. Light it up. Nicotine ain't bad as gasoline. All right, if you want smoke,
smoke. Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. This is live from the CNN Lumber Standard Kitchen Studios. Brian, the Wizard of the Big Board, pulling some ancient smoke music out of the archives. Way to go, brother.
That's right. Welcome back. And that's Ohio Players.
Right.
It wasn't on an 8-track, was it, Brian? No. So rib variations, you had asked me during the break what my thoughts were on those. And I guess the one thing I wanted to kind of mention is another way to do ribs that I did done more and more of lately, but I did it for Christmas for my wife's family.
Pork or beef?
Both.
Okay.
I did it for I started doing it a couple years ago for the men's group with beef ribs.
Right.
And that worked out so well.
You got one of those
because they're so big, and you know you can rub the whole thing and get a treat. It's like you got a one off.
Right.
So I did that with a bunch of baby backs that I picked up from Sobey for my events a couple weeks ago, Christmas, last weekend, I guess. And I took those baby backs. I took, of course, the membrane off the back, And I cut them all into single ribs. And I was a little worried
about... Before you cooked them.
Yeah, I was a little worried about doing it because I'd done it with beef, and they're so big, it was great. But with these baby backs, they're kind of small, you know. So I got all these little ribs, and so I cut them individually, and I used Billy Bones Competition Rub. And I threw them on the smoker for maybe 3 hours. And I did them, you know, the day of the event. So I'm going to say they were on for 3 hours. I pulled them off and put them in a chafing dish, covered them with a bottle of Original Juan's American Stockyard barbecue sauce that I pick up at Sobeys. I used the Smoky Blues.
Not the Harvest Apple?
Nope. I used the Smoky Blues, and then I put them back in open and let them cook for a while. No, I covered them. Sorry. I put them back in covered in that chafing dish with some Smoky Blues, and then I pulled them out, and they were, like, gorgeous. So I took a bunch of sticks of butter and then a whole bunch of honey, and I did the Kansas City sticky rib treat.
Yep.
And I think they were the best ribs I've ever made. And they were individually done. So I did that because I only had, like, 5 racks, and we had 30 or 40 people there. And if I put a big slab out, the first 10 people would take all the slabs and we'd be done.
Right.
So this way, everybody could just take a couple and take their brisket and their pulled pork, and we jammed the barbecue. I had something else, too. I can't remember what it was. But so there was an abundant – oh, chicken.
Right. What kind of chicken?
Thighs.
Okay.
Skinless, boneless thighs.
The best for smoking,
they were
in my
great.
Opinion.
Everything was great. I mean, these people were I'm afraid I'll have to have Christmas every year.
Well, you have for the last several. You're doing the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
And we love it.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons
sneak
we.
Sneak in to get some of that great barbecue and leave before you even see me.
It's one of the reasons we added onto our house, honestly. We love having family events there.
Right.
Our family's expanding.
Sure.
Some of our brothers and sisters are, and they're all having grandkids or whatever, and it's just nice to, it's wonderful. It's the best
time of
year.
What the holidays are about.
It's a big part of it. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
So rib variations, I would tell you to, I'd encourage you to cut them into individuals or maybe 2 ribs at a time if you want. But
did you find they got done quicker? I'm wondering if there's more sides that are.
Maybe slightly.
Yeah, because 3 hours on a rack of ribs doesn't sound like enough.
Here's what I found is that the meat all the way around the rib was better.
Okay.
There was bark all the way around every rib.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's what I like is the crunchiness.
Right.
And then when I slathered that sauce on them and then put the butter and honey, what else can you add to them?
Right.
So
let's talk a little
bourbon,
bit about
maybe.
That. So they're laying in a single layer in the bottom of this aluminum chafing dish or the pan.
Well,
or
it was whatever. A stainless.
Stainless one. Okay, yep. So you put it in the hard pan then.
Yep.
Okay, so they're laying, but they're single layers, or did you stack them up?
No, they were stacked up.
Okay, so when you put the butter on there, was it like little, did you
tabs,
slice it off the...
Tabs, yep.
Okay, so you sliced it off the stick, right?
Yep.
The quarter pound stick, you just sliced them off, and you didn't put one on everyone, you just put it in there.
Yep.
And then the honey, same thing, you just drizzled it all over.
I friggin' lobbed it in there.
And the extra, the barbecue sauce went on first. I'm trying to get the order of things.
Yeah, the barbecue sauce went on for about a half hour or an hour with the aluminum foil over the top of the pan covered, and it steamed them up a bunch, and they were just beautiful. But I thought I would push it over the edge and do a little butter and honey. And then when I took them out of there, I put them in the serving dish because this one was all smoked up and dirty now.
Yep.
So I had a clean pan, aluminum pan ready. And when I did that, they kind of tumbled out of the thing, and all that beautiful batter from the bottom just coated everything all over again, the butter and the honey and the sauce, and my mouth's watering right now. Jop, I'm telling you, they were so good, it's ridiculous.
So that was pork ribs.
Those were baby backs.
Right. So for the beef ribs, those are a whole different animal because, well, figuratively, and I guess, but
wow, thank you.
Yeah, there's some insight from the grilling guys. Yeah,
and he's got a PhD in entomology.
So you're taking a prime rib that's got a bone on it, and you like to cut that bone off. You feel like the bone has done its work.
Yep.
When the roast arrives, right? And you want bark all the way
and
around.
And you and I'll be doing that in a couple weeks.
Right. We're doing like a bunch of it.
Yeah.
Like 400 or 500 pounds of this stuff we're going to be doing for our men's group at our church. We do this every winter. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, you take those off. Those ribs are on the smoker as well, but they're going to cook a little longer than a pork rib, right? I mean, just because they're bigger, they're more dense, and or not. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. I honestly can't really remember. I do the same thing, cut them up into singles. But, yeah, those might cook 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's, you know,
it's always colder than heck out.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And I think you're going to be in charge of the ribs this year.
Right. I'm running the smoker oven. I'm just stuffed to keep warm. You're cooking it on the
know.
Big rotisserie.
I don't know how we're going to do that.
American barbecue system.
I think it might be nice to put yours on the ribs and just let them go all day on that low and slow, because that's what it's good at in the winter. Yours has struggles with the temp. So let's just do the ribs on yours and do an experiment.
Right.
Because you love experimenting with 300 men.
That's right. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law. Negotiate a relationship like you negotiate a salary. State your boundaries and never settle for less than you're worth.
Ever settle for less than you're worth, and make sure that you value what she is worth as well. I think that it's a mutual thing if it's going to work, right? So we're doing the ribs, Bob. We've got for our church men group, we've got 300 dudes to feed. This is a big task, and they hold us out to be the meat preparation team, and we bring in some extra guys when we do that, because it's just what happens is that the prep to get it on the smoker, then it's not a lot of work while it's on the smoker. You got to watch, but then when it comes off the smoker and it's service time, man, we need people, because there's a lot of cutting. We're smoking these whole prime ribs right together, and we're doing whole racks of ribs, so it should be a lot of fun. But where I want to go with this is that there needs to be one, maybe two, but generally one chief and a whole bunch of Indians when you're cooking for this many people. Somebody's got to be in charge, and that's always you at this thing. And then I just go and be the grill bitch, and I run herd on these guys, because, and you do too, because they're very, very well-intended, but oftentimes they want
to... We've got help this year.
What?
We've got help. We've got Mark Graves helping us out
his
big locker smoker.
Mark knows everything he needs to know about barbecue.
With the three of us there, I think we'll be able to committee this to death.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Mark is going to be there, and Mark's a very good smoker.
Yeah.
So he'll do his deal.
But he doesn't have Ohio players.
Right. Yeah. We do. Anyway. So we're going to bring this train to the station. A little cold weather planning. Believe it or not, there's a new home and remodeling show coming up in a couple weeks here in Grand Rapids. It's kind of like a home show, and you're going to want to talk to these people about outdoor kitchens. So we're going to tip it off for you. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at Siciliano mkt.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the 2020 first edition of the year, and we've been talking a little bit about cold smoking, and now we're going to talk a little bit about outdoor kitchens and our friends at Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchens, who bring us the show each and every week. We're going to be meeting at the new home and remodeling show in downtown Grand Rapids the 17th, 18th, and 19th of January. I'll be there. The Grilling Guys will be there. I'll be there as a guest speaker doing a couple moderation and topical stuff. And one of the things we're going to be doing is outdoor kitchens. And I just want to talk to you about it, not in great depth, but this is the time to start thinking about it, because I'm going to work you a timeline backwards, right? You're in Michigan. You'd really like to be just smoking it up on that outdoor kitchen by the 1st of May, right? And that might even be a little late. But you've got contractors that got to come in and do a variety of stuff prior to getting your kitchen ready to use. And if you wait till June or July, they're in their house building seasons, and you're going to have a little bit of problem getting a guy to come out and do that. But you work this backwards. I'll save you the timeline, but you need 3 months from the time you say go. I'm talking about an outdoor kitchen. Okay. From the time you say go, I want to do this, and your design is done, till the time you're actually cooking on it. Because these outdoor cabinetry manufacturers are anywhere from 5 to 8 weeks, because it's custom stuff that we do. We build it to your site, and we order this cabinetry, and it's outdoor, and it's impervious to weather, and it's what you want. But then even when that stuff gets there, you've got to have your countertop people come in. You got to have your appliance people come in, all your gas lines, all your electrical lines, everything that needs to be run to this. And I'm not talking about just your little grill on the corner. I'm talking an outdoor kitchen. And these things are $20,000 to $100,000. However elaborate that you want to do, and we have the capability of doing them all sizes, you know. But if you don't have $20,000 in your budget, then you're probably not going to get a custom or a installed outdoor kitchen on your deck. I realize this is kind of an elitist conversation, but there's a lot of people out there that take this stuff serious. So I just wanted to let you know that this is coming, but here
and
we are.
That'll be at DeVos Hall?
What? Yeah, yep, DeVos Hall, downtown Grand Rapids.
Awesome.
17th to the 19th.
Make sure you check that out, yeah. and Jop, you'll be working it.
I will. I'll be there, and happy to
you
talk to anybody.
You have a chance to talk to Jop live.
Yeah, right. There's tickets involved to get in, so I better be worth the price of admission.
And I just want to let everybody know that Jop will no longer be a crybaby about Dutch ovens, because
here we go.
I got him a Dutch oven for Christmas. He's in the club.
Right.
He won't be ignorant anymore.
Hey, and you know what?
And it's from Lodge.
Right. It is. It's beautiful. And it was all seasoned when I got it. And I tell you what I did with it. The first maiden voyage, and it turned out perfect, is I had a store.
The first maiden voyage, not the second maiden
voyage? Right, right. And I bought the store-bought spiral-cut ham, right? And I put that thing in there with no liquid or anything, because you got to heat them up. It's already cooked. Put the lid on it at a 275-degree oven for about 2 hours, and there was 2.5 inches of juice in the bottom of that thing. And it was a wonderful, juicy, moist, just everything it should have been, ham.
Stop it. I'm hungry.
Yeah. But I've still got the cool part about the whole thing is – you know, the spiral cuts only go down about 2/3 on the ham, then you get a big chunk on the end.
Yeah.
Well, I got to save all the juice, too, so that's in a Ziploc bag in my fridge, and it's bean soup this week, man.
Nice.
Ooh, can't wait.
I love bean soup.
Oh, me too, with the ham bone. But anyway.
Sounds good.
Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy New Year. We're glad you're back and listening with us. We promise to continue this tomfoolery for the rest of the year. But Barbecue Bob, it's good to have another year with you, and we'll talk to you all next week.
See ya.